This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Thursday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. And a little bit more tonight. Well, you know, always education. 855-752-4842 is the number if you want to call us. 855-752-4842. Johnny Lupinacci's in the house. How are you, my friend?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing good, Tim. You know, it's a Thursday. So I'm so excited because on my drive in to teach this morning, I listened to the show yesterday with Educators Amplified. Loved it. Always love having that recap. And then it's a teaching day. So I'm coming off of, you know, back-to-back sections of teaching the social studies teachers, which is ever exciting because, you know, what we talked about today, we talked about teaching core democratic values. Specifically, we talked on methods for how to do consensus decision-making with children. But the extra bonus points was link it back to what core democratic values did we practice today in our classroom that you're going to teach in your classroom. And so I tell them, we don't just make this up. This is actual stuff. It's curriculum. It's part of social studies. It's part of our public education. And tonight, our guest is kind of an expert in this area. So we're excited to have, you know, Dr. Nancy Flanagan with us.
And her blog, Teacher in a Strange Land. Although, Nancy, you start off, you know, welcome back to Busted Pencils. We always love having you. I think your last episode was whether we should do something with jingle bells.
Oh, my goodness. Yep.
It was timely. You have to.
It was timely.
Yes.
It was great stuff.
I'm,
but
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. But your blog, you put this is about a good, it's a week now or maybe a little bit more, but we've been holding you back, holding you on and wanting to bring this concept because you ask the question in the title of your blog, do core democratic values belong in schools? Johnny Lupinacci's just kind of starting here saying that he's already indoctrinating new teachers in on those core democratic
values.
You know, doing that indoctrination.
I mean, if you're a citizen in this country, I mean, you basically have signed up that you're supposed to be practicing these. You're supposed to be applying them. So,
yeah. Oh, I don't know. But and you say some, but the you know, and you give us an answer though in the title. Some say no.
Some say no. Yeah, that's the really astonishing thing is that there are people who don't think these core values, which come right out of the foundational documents, the Constitution, the first three core democratic values in the Michigan social studies curriculum were life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So, you know, who's opposed to that?
That's controversial stuff right there. Life, liberty, and the pursuit, not even gaining happiness, just the ability to pursue it. But, so Nancy, one of the things you even did this, you said core values, and you know, let's do a little touch in the blog here. In fact, one of the issues that came up in Michigan during the writing of the social studies standards, there was a Republican legislator who, for some reason, kind of saw core democratic values as meaning like schools were teaching, you know, how to value Democrats.
Right.
And he just didn't think that was fair, you know, that there would be. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, he stepped in. This was a few years back, and it was a redo of the social studies standards just because it was time to do it. It wasn't like they said, you know, these are outmoded or anything, but the department every so many years redoes them. They look at what they are and they bring in, they do it the way you're supposed to. They bring in, you know, tons of teachers and experts and they bring in legislators. And this guy, Patrick Colbeck, is, he's kind of known around the state, but for
Right. For brilliance.
I'm trying to say something here. Right wing.
His insightful analysis.
He was determined to get rid of any mention of core democratic values, and he said because they're not neutral. You know, they're democratic. He said, I wouldn't want the core Republican values either. And but it wasn't just a matter of him screwing up and not understanding the label. It was a matter of he wanted to do a lot of things. And I mentioned a few of them in the blog, but this went on for, months and months. And one of the teachers who was on the team, after I posted the blog, he sent me a private message and he said, I still have nightmares about this. He said, I would never do this again. You know, I'm just a government teacher from Alpena. You know, I can't I can't deal with this, because he, Colbeck, just came in and started pushing, you know, the system out of the way, you know, with everybody sitting around the table and everybody contributing and reading the comments that they solicited online. And there was nothing that he liked. And he took what tiny little mentions there were in the previous social studies standards of things like the women's movement, LGBTQ rights, you know, just something, you know, civil rights, racism, sexism, things that had just kind of lightly been touched upon. He wanted all those out, and he wanted, the most amazing thing to me was that he wanted something inserted that said, when some people get rights, it takes away the rights of others.
Couldn't believe that when I mean, like this is, he's like, you know, like, look, we're going to put in our core democratic values. First of all, we're not going to call them democratic because that's a, you know, giving some kind of shout out to Democrats. But one of our core values is recognizing that when certain people get rights, that's how other people's rights get trampled on.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it, which is. And some of this is funny and we make this funny, but some of it's absolutely downright serious, because the reality here, and, you know, I made fun of Johnny saying, Johnny, what are you doing, you know, indoctrinating those future teachers in core democratic values? But the reality here is what you can, it sounds like when you ask the question, do core democratic values belong in school? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, keep going on, the common good. People are saying, like, well, some of those issues, I'm not so sure I want our kids. I mean, there's an interesting debate, and I don't mean like a big, but there are people who go, yeah, I'm not so sure schools should be doing that type of stuff. Johnny, I see you got to jump in there.
I mean, I can jump in, Tim. I mean, we did a whole show on my shtick on this. I mean, I love these, and I spend a lot of time with teachers discussing them, teaching them, learning them as adults together. Talking about what democracy and actions look like, really going through how do we separate out democratic as an adjective from the noun, the Democrat Party, right? So how can we really understand these democratic values, linking them to primary documents as our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, even human rights and UN documents that, you know, really help bring, you know, like groundedness to why these values are not only values of the United States of America, but of places around the world striving to engage in democratic governance, not the Democrat Party. I think it's important that, like Nancy wrote about this, is talking about it, and that we're reminded that sometimes when we use those words, they have multiple interpretations that then guide reactions people have. But, you know, we the thing that always gets me, Tim, and the thing we spend the most time talking about is there's this list of really great stuff. And because it's ingrained in our head in the first three we list, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they kind of feel like they're like that we are, that maybe we're prioritizing a few of these here or there, or that you can pick one or two of the values and fight for them. And it's like, hold on, the really important part is that all of these, we practicing democratic citizenship, not being a Democrat, because I know Republicans who value strong democratic participation, right? Mm-hmm. And so that not that they're always well represented by some of their elected officials, but I know like neighbors who believe that all of those things are really valuable. All of those core democratic values are things we'd want to practice and believe in and have faith and trust in one another's competency in them. So great. The hard part is balancing and holding all of them at equal value. Because I might say like Tim, like, hey, it's my right. It's my pursuit of happiness. And in fact, liberty gives me the freedom to pursue my happiness. And I'm not killing anybody, so I value life. But it's not in the interest of the common good. Like, you can't always get your way just because it's what makes you happy. Right? So we're talking, like, it's not always in favor of, truth, of popular sovereignty, of valuing one another's voice, of equality, right? Diversity. We talked about these values. A lot of my really, I don't know what I can call them, friends, neighbors that are far right wing, they always are saying, well, the liberals added diversity and equality to the... No, actually, they've been here. This is not new stuff. These values go back quite a ways, and we can learn about them, but then also how to practice them and balance that they all are held at equal value. So you can't just pick patriotism, define it yourself, and run with it. You have to balance these out.
You've done that. So let's just remind Nancy, I'm just jump in because Johnny put them out there again, right? Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, justice, the common good, equality, truth, diversity, popular sovereignty, and patriotism. Those are the core democratic values, not just the ones you like, but that's all of them. Nancy, I interrupted you, and I know we're about ready to go on break, but go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to mention that Ron DeSantis you'd have to put him into the category of someone who doesn't think they belong in schools, because most of the legislation he's been sponsoring and directing and passing flies in the face of equality and justice. I mean, it's very,
I think that, though, too, put that there and we'll come back to that, is that how many of school, what we're seeing now, are actually going after and suppressing some of these core democratic values intentionally. Suppression, not lifting. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. It's Educated Educators Talking Education. We'll be right back. There's always reasons why I sing, Johnny sings, our guests sing. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education. The number 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Our guest, Nancy Flanagan, blogger, teacher, Teacher in a Strange Land is the blog. Core democratic values, should we be teaching them? Do they belong in schools? Some say no. And in fact, Johnny was going over them. And, you know, there's a whole list, too. And just, again, remind everybody, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, justice, the common good, equality, truth, diversity, popular sovereignty, and patriotism. There's no debating that those are the core democratic values that have come across social studies standards in civics books for forever, right? I mean, the reality, though, is that we are seeing now, though, as you were saying, Nancy, right before the break, that there are actively pursuits to say, well, some of those maybe we don't really like that much, and public schools, we're not going to be the place. Johnny, right? I mean,
you got to pick. What do you want? Teach? And this is where I think, you know, Nancy was talking about. I mean, this is if we get to the crux of this, if you're against any of these, you're against all of these. It's an all or nothing. And so if you're starting to pick a few, then you're really just arguing for your version of, say, like Tim, if you pick four that you really like, you can call them This is like Tim's democracy. This is like, you know, it's a new version. It's a new kind. You probably can't even really use the word democratic and have these values. But if you pick a few of them, it's Tim's government. So now we're talking about many forms of despotism or authoritarianism, or, you know, we get there. We've talked about it on this show and guests have brought it up. Like, dare we say, moving towards a more fascist state. Mm-hmm. And that's when you start to pick one or two of these and argue for them or demand that they are focused on and priority and you use force. That's fascism. You know, so,
Nancy,
so
you made comment of that very early in the blog.
Yeah. Yes. The one that I would isolate and highlight right now as being particularly difficult is truth.
Yeah.
And mostly because there are so many sources. It's something like 45% of all people get most of their political news from social media. And kids, you know, that's where they get truth. And truth is a really murky thing. So it's very hard. And I think if there's one thing that we could do, public education could do and should do, it's put a much greater focus on how to tell the difference between truth and something that is, you know, designed to move your opinion in one way or another. I see this all the time with the kids that I'm volunteering with who are middle school kids. These are kids who need an adult in their life. And the things that they think and they know and they believe are really, really frightening to me. And I think that's a major change from when the three of us were growing up and I grew up before you did, but there was still truth out there. Yeah. And it's really hard to recognize what's true and what's not.
But you said that too. And it just reminded me, you know, when I was a fifth grade teacher, fact and opinion, right? That was like, it was like every third reading lesson had teaching the difference between fact and opinion. And guess what? There were right answers for being facts and things were the right, if you picked them as an opinion. And if you got a fact and you classified it as an opinion, I marked it wrong. Because I was supposed to, and you say the alternative truths, all these different things, but yeah, recognizing truth. I think though, maybe it's more this that you hear people going, I just don't like that truth. And so we're not going to teach that because I don't like that truth. And so, that truth makes me uncomfortable. It might be true, but it makes me uncomfortable. And you know what? The new legislation says that if you make me uncomfortable, I can complain. Mm-hmm. Think about Johnny, right?
Well, yeah, and to some degree, learning to put into practice these democratic values is sharing your dissent, is talking about different ways you're experiencing it, is acknowledging that maybe you have a different perspective or that you're getting information from a different place. Mm-hmm. But it's balanced out by the others too. I think Nancy's really dead on with like focusing. If we're going to talk about some of these, especially where the controversy seems to converge, this core value of truth is really in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And it also is, it's a call to us to break it down, to talk about that. It's part of why transparency is important, why trustworthiness of things you share, of decisions we make together as a group or what we're learning in our classroom, why we build a trustworthiness around scientific consensus or around the body of knowledge that's out there on a particular issue, that we're not excluding that there are other views, but that we're saying that given like learning about all these things, we have to build a trustworthiness in the base of our experience from experts. And this is a time, like I know, like Nancy, Tim, you both, like we're acknowledging it. This is a time where we're also battling as a culture, grappling with this notion of everybody's an expert if they can get on the internet. And so that's just simply not true. But we are struggling from it as a culture because like there are certain things I learned to do in plumbing, working with master plumbers, that I know I don't really do that well, but I know they do. It's their profession, their expertise. They have a knowledge set. I might be able to look some stuff up on the internet, but I'm probably not going to be able to do it as well as an expert. So I need to build trust and truth and things in that kind of relationship. And it's all those ways where you begin to learn that it's okay to rely on one another. It's not a weakness. It's okay to recognize expertise in someone other than yourself, yeah. Right? And to build strength in, there we go with the other core democratic value, diversity.
Well, I was going to say, in fact, that one, what you made me think about, you know, truth and diversity, holding those two things together, as you said, constant, can create some friction. Well, and you know what? That's okay. Nancy, I say you're not right.
Yeah.
That's it. This is such a big thing. And, you know, we started out talking about core democratic values as being part of an overall social studies curriculum, but really they're woven into everything. I taught instrumental music, instrumental and vocal music, and the core democratic values in the way you run your classroom, for one thing. But I'm thinking here about patriotism and how you teach kids, you know, with their clarinets and their saxophones to play patriotic songs and to show up for the parade because, you know, their uncles and their great uncles and their grandparents showed up for even bigger things and what it means to respect that. And that was all woven into my curriculum, too. And that's really important. It's not just a social studies thing. This is like David Laborie, and he talks about the three purposes of education, about democratic equality and job training and social mobility. Well, the key thing for me is democratic equality. If kids can't see that, we're not teaching anything at all about citizenship. It's not just
busted more pencils. Yeah, busted pencils. We'll be right back after the break. Hey, that's what we do. We're always busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. We're here to save you. 855-752-4842. Yeah, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Nancy Flanagan, educator, blogger, teacher in a strange land blog. We're talking about, do core democratic values belong in schools? And continue the title. Some say no, though, Johnny Ibenacci. Some say no. We started with a little bit of the reality that, you know, some people, just the simple fact of hearing Democrat, are like, well, that sounds biased and we shouldn't do Democratic core values. And, you know, we're like, wait, we're talking about democracy, not Democrats. And so, sorry, you don't need, you know, a counterweight to Democratic core values. Democratic core values are the core values of a democracy. And so we're going to put those forward. And then, you know, you go through, and then we're kind of getting to this point, though, saying, how do you then push against, in this moment right now, where we see states and governors and legislatures actively saying by the laws they pass, and I'll just put this one, that, you know, teaching critical race theory, if it makes you uncomfortable, that's the litmus test as to whether that was a violation then. And we just talked about this, that when you're talking about potentially mixing patriotism with diversity, with truth, that, boy, that might be a whole hotbed of uncomfortability. And, you know, and so the reality is that somebody's like, we didn't outlaw core democratic values. It's like, well, you outlawed uncomfortability. And talking about core democratic values can be really uncomfortable sometimes, especially when you don't get to pick the ones you like and disregard the ones you don't like. That's where we're coming from. Nancy, right?
I had a comment on the blog from a commenter that I didn't recognize. Usually people who comment on my blog have been there before, and I can kind of figure that this was an entirely new one. And it said, should parents be able to control which core democratic values that our children learn about. And, you know, I wrote back saying parents have always had the right to pull their kids out of anything they want. But as part of the curriculum, that which we, you know, push out to all the students, no. I mean, parents can't say at our school, we're not learning about justice and, you know, truth, it's gone. You know, you just can't do that. They're a set. They're interactive, mm-hmm. and they depend on each other. And if you don't want your kid to hear about equality, well, then I guess they can go to the office and write a worksheet. But and then the guy came back and asked again about, well, do parents have any rights over any of this? And it was like, I already told you, yes. You know, if you don't want your kid to learn about popular sovereignty, okay. Or patriotism or whatever it is. But, you know, the other kids get to have that. It's central to everything, Johnny, that we teach.
This reminds me, Johnny, of our conversations we've had with our own astrophysicist, Dr. Ethan Siegel, where he very much would say, and very much in support of what Nancy said, well, no, when it comes to issues of scientific truth, he would say, he's like, no, you don't get to opt out of that. If you want to opt out of that, go to a private school. He goes, but if you're going to send your kids to public schools, there are certain things you don't get to opt out of. You know, well, he was very direct about that. And so core democratic values, I guess you technically have the right to pull your kids out of that, but you do not, Johnny, you put it up there. You do not have the right.
This is a distraction argument because you're going to even go to a public school. You're going to go to a private school. You're going to go to the best schools. You're going to find that they're actually doing democratic classrooms and they're teaching democracy. Within democratic values, you can have religious beliefs, you can have dissent, you can have a balance of all these things. That's partly what's so special and unique about this, is it's saying, like, you have a right and a freedom to a diversity of ideas, but we can't compromise any of these values at the expense of we can't replace one or prioritize one at the expense of the other. So, like, you can be uncomfortable, Tim, and you can say, well, it's my right, you know, to express that I'm not comfortable, but you can't say what would make me comfortable is if we got rid of all these other ideas and just did the ones that I'm comfortable with. Now you're threatening diversity, truth, all of these other core democratic values. So they often get pitched as something that, like, belonged. They are essential to a democracy, and public education has a mm-hmm. service role in ensuring that its citizenry have that. But they, I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag. They're often found also in private institutions because they are values. So they don't belong to Democrats or to Republicans only. They don't belong to religious private schools. They don't belong to, you know, elite academies only. They don't belong to higher ed and not elementary. This is part of anywhere we gather. They can't even be family values align oftentimes with core democratic values. These are things that we prioritize as a government and ensure happen in our public schools. So I do like when Dr. Ethan Siegel comes on and he says, look, if you don't want to do this, then don't participate in public schools, but this is a role public schools play. Yes. And my answer to that is good luck finding somewhere that doesn't practice them, because in some of the most strict, maybe they preface, or they, you know, maybe in a Catholic school, Catholicism is centered, right? But good luck finding a school that then says these values, though, we don't really care about them. I have yet to find one, even in the most private and, you know, institutions in this country or world, they seem to converge towards valuing these things.
But the difference you're talking about, I think Nancy could come in on this, though, is that but public schools have a responsibility, yes. Nancy, yes. Right? I mean, I could see you wanting to say that with your eyes.
Yeah, really? Wow, you are good. Yes. Well, you know, I'm thinking about some of the Christian schools here, and, you know, hey, if you want to send your kids to I'm not talking about Catholic parochial Catholic schools. I'm talking about some of the you know, school in a pole barn where you know, they are just really are not interested in justice or equality, or they're interested in only their version of it. And and yeah, if you want your kids to go to school where, you know, they believe that people and dinosaurs walk the earth together, well then okay, but you have to pay for it. And and then I really don't care. But yes, I fully agree. These are public schools, so they have to be, you know, that's their purpose.
Right. And they don't just live there. We say the public schools have a primary responsibility of teaching those core democratic values. And this is what we try to do on the show with Busted Pencils, remind everybody that public, you know, democracy and public education, those two concepts, or whatever you want to say, they have each other in support of each other. You need a strong public school system committed to core democratic values if you want to uphold a democracy, and you want citizens who are going to practice core democratic values. Your public school has the responsibility to, you know, my goodness, you're saying public schools have to indoctrinate kids on core democratic values? Well, yes.
Here's the other thing about core democratic values. They're really interesting. They're really good curriculum. Every now and then I hear somebody say, oh, we need better civics education. Well, yeah, I agree. We need better civics education. But if we're going to do civics education and we're not going to fully, you know, embrace the core democratic values, what are we going to be talking about?
It's going to be
debates. And times, and it's going to be boring, and it's going to be stuff that doesn't stick with kids. This is the juice. This is the really good stuff about curriculum and about living in the United States. It's what makes us different.
Well, and it's not easy, and it's not scripted. It's not specific to one experience. It's really like Nancy, like you said, it's the excitement of this.
Yes.
It's where rubber meets the road every day. And no matter what you graduate to become or go into learning or contribute, it's democracy in action. And in fact, it's one of the core values. Popular sovereignty, a government for the people, by the people. If we don't know how to do it, then we can't have it. So now the other side of this, Tim and Nancy, sounds like we're all for this, and we make this pretty airtight case. Like, you can't really go against this and be here, or like deny that this is a job that public schools are, maybe even originally the purpose of public education was a, you know, political purpose here. So we ensure the sustainability of a democracy. Yes, right. Okay. So we're there. So if I was against this, and I understood all these, it sounds like then I'm not for democracy. So maybe if I did want to weaken citizens, and I did want to make it a vulnerable citizen base, like I wanted to like really take advantage of the people in my country, then I wouldn't want them to learn that these values make them stronger together, and they strengthen local economies and local communities. So it sounds like to me the people attacking this also know what they're doing. On one hand, I just want to educate them and how much we all share these values and how great they are. On the other hand, I'm like, wait, maybe they understand how great they are, and they don't want us, the people, to be empowered in this way, because it decentralizes power into local communities. And that's not what the folks attacking this want. They want us to accept a more fascist or a more despot kind of leadership.
No, I think Nancy was in agreement there too. I mean, you talked about, you know, let's look to a lot of, particularly the red states right now that are really doing a full court press on saying core democratic values. Well, you know, diversity, no, diversity makes us uncomfortable. We're not going to allow that. Nancy, go ahead.
Make it harder for people to vote because we don't like the way these people are voting. They're ill informed. You know, they don't agree with us. And, you know, I started that blog out by saying, I try not to, yeah, to say, you know, I try not to go directly to Hitler, you know,
yeah.
with these flags.
Sure, but sure.
These days, it is frightening to me. And I just read this book by Rachel Bitticoffer. Called Hit 'em Where It Hurts. And she said she used to feel that way too, that you really couldn't, you know, press too hard. You couldn't call people names, you know, but if we don't, bad things can happen. Yes.
I don't think it's a stretch though, too. When you, as Johnny said, when we make the lockstep argument that we're doing here airtight of going like, look, if you don't support these, okay, maybe, you know, some form of a Hitler comment is going a little too far, but however, the reality is that you're tilting in a direction that, you know, and in fact, if we know anything, you know, good social studies in history teachers would tell you one of the biggest reasons we want to learn from the past. We look at the past and we make comparisons. And when it starts to feel like, you know, diversity, core democratic values, truths, and those things are being challenged as things that should be taught in public schools, we're going to call it out. We're just going to call it out. We're going to be truthful. You know, Johnny, we got one more. What? Jump in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's good to put that in. The Hitler example kind of is extreme, right? But what's not extreme is bringing it back to the fact that, like, if something is by definition moving towards a dictatorship, remember, we can have benevolent dictators. You can have a good king, but like, is it really the system we want? Because you could also have a bad king, and Hitler happened to be a bad dictator. And I kind of think all dictators probably are not the best way to go. But if we don't know how to name those things or understand them, then we're vulnerable to, like you said, repeating mistakes of the past.
It's Nancy Flanagan. The blog is Teacher in a Strange Land. Nancy, thank you for busting pencils.
Thank you.
Yeah, you hear it. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educators talking education. Hey, there's time still. 855-752.
Give us a call. Come on.
4842. Come on. Core democratic values. Jenna, you take it this way, though. You know what? A lot to hear and listen to. Potentially, you know, you take the content that we have tonight. And I think there's a lot of people just sitting back going, man, I just want to keep hearing and learning more, because you said it, Johnny, the airtight discussion that we're having tonight around core democratic values and the function of public schools and how those two, they just go together. You don't get to opt out of core democratic values, especially if you're a public school. Johnny, go ahead.
Well, yeah, we said this. We remember a couple weeks ago, it feels like now, we talked about what are the three characteristics or tenets or conditions for something to be categorized as democratic, not the Democrat Party, Party, but to be, say, this is a democratic organization, or we live in a democratic country. Right. Or we are organizing under the precipice of or principles of democracy. One, everybody has a voice and that voice is valued. Two, everybody has a right and responsibility to participate in decision making. A right and responsibility. Three, it's in the interest of the common good. And then we broke into all those values that help better understand how do you act and how do you behave and how do you contribute? Because guess what, Tim? You don't get to not contribute in a democracy. That's part of the popular sovereignty. It's a government for the people, by the people. Not just like you have an opportunity should you want to. You have to. You can't opt out. So that's a big piece of this too, is like it is implied that if you're in the community, if you're in our space, if you're going about, you're using roads, you're doing... Like, there are certain aspects of the common good that we hold important that everybody builds a certain level of competency around. democratic decision making, any political decision making, ought not to be reserved in an elitist set for like people who only graduated from X, Y, and Z schools, or who only have so much money. All right, it is everybody. There's no special little group in there. You don't get to pick and choose who we listen to and who we prioritize. So it's just part of everyday stuff that we, you know, have to have, fortunately, in many places, worked into the fabric of where a lot of young people spend their time, schools. It's also in sports programs. It's also in, you know, community groups. It's in public libraries. You know, our healthcare system tries to, as much as it can, operate democratically, right? It's a lot of that's been privatized too. I'm sure a lot of it's nurses, doctors to call in.
You made the point though earlier though, Johnny, and you're making me think about it now. And let's drive this home again. The reality of going, and if you're against these, and in fact, the reality is saying, like, you know, stopping the attack on public schools and the attack on democracy, we try to make that connection for my neighbor is to go, it's like, look, if you're for attack, if you are supporting the attack of your local public school, you're supporting an attack on democracy, and recognizing how those two go together there. And the reality of whether it's, you said private vouchers, you know, siphoning public money to send kids outside of the public school system is in one way also saying, like, we will do anything we can to make sure the citizens and the population do not get core democratic values that the public schools give. And we're going to create the failure narrative of public schools so we can drive people out, create a reason for not to send there. And the reality is that, Johnny, what you're saying is there's a fear of a population, the entire population, as you said, not one stratosphere, not one atmosphere, not one group, not this group. Everybody in the population has the rights to core democratic values, unless you don't want certain people to understand their rights, then you deny them the public education. And this is where I'm linking it together here for my neighbor who's listening tonight to say, this is why Johnny and Tim, Busted Pencils, Fully Led at Education Talk, why we're always saying the connection between democracy and public schools is essential. You can't attack your public schools and then feel frightened when democracy starts to disappear, because public schools are really the only main number one institution charged with teaching core democratic values. That was my little litany there, Johnny.
It's an insurance policy on that. It happens, right? I mean, I think as a nation, this is a democratic values have found their way into like extracurricular activities,
sure.
Groups, theater groups, dance groups, sports teams, football teams, you know, I'm going to just keep going. I keep naming things. Also workplaces. I mean, we've all been part of work crews that operate democratically. It doesn't mean anything goes. You know, we learn it and practice it all the time in a democracy, and that keeps us sharp. When we're practicing core democratic values on the job or at play or in our community, right? It keeps it sharp. It keeps it like iron, right? Iron sharpens iron. Like when we're really good at democratic values, we're always bringing them to those places where we're interacting with others. But historically, and I'd argue even now more than ever, right? Like in the most current moment, public schools is an insurance policy on if we aren't getting that in our lives, we're getting it when we go to learn together in a place where we are, you know, figuring out how. This is where we learn it. So it's also not like we're asking second graders to show up and be great democratic citizens. It's like where young people are trying out different ideas, like they're working through the discomfort of like, but it doesn't mean I get my way. No, you don't always get your way because you're the loudest or you're the strongest or you're the fastest. And those are things we learn in school. We learn the difference between wants and needs. We learn how to collaborate. We learn how to listen, right? We learn how to, like you said, navigate fact and opinion. We learn how to hold space for multiple views, right? And we also learn that there's this thing called the future that we hear about a lot as young people, and we get really annoyed with it because it's kind of an annoying thing we hear about all the time. Well, you're going to need this later. But we also do need to think and learn that decisions we make now have an impact on things later. And so we have a responsibility to future generations. These are all things we grapple with and learn in schools. They're all related to core democratic values. If you're against them, well, we kind of know why you'd be against them. It's because you want people to not exercise their rights and responsibilities.
Busted Pencils, man. Great Thursday night. Thanks to our guest, Nancy Flanagan. Tomorrow night, Friday, hey, trending education news. See y'all tomorrow.
Say yes to MPS.